We are doing a series, Dreams Without Borders. And today we're looking at God-sized dream 2.0, because we did the 1.0 last time, right? So, in my sermon last Sunday, I said to the here in this church that one of my God-sized dream, or one of my God-sized dreams, is to bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ. That the greatest joy that I have is when people give their life to Christ. For me, that's one of the greatest joy. There is no greater joy for me in my life when I see someone come to the Lord Jesus Christ. So that is my God-sized dream. And you have your God-sized dream as a doctor, as a nurse, as a teacher, as somebody that works in IT, whatever company that you can name, or in college, you have your own dream. But for me, as a servant of God, one of my God-sized dreams is when people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. So last Sunday, after the service, we have the well, and we pray after the service, and people come here to be prayed for several things. The well is a place of no judgment, no prejudice. It is like the well where the Samaritan woman came to the Lord Jesus Christ at the well, and they had the greatest conversation about salvation, about place of worship, about being thirsty, being filled. That's where what happens at the well. And you're welcome to come to the well for anything after the sermon, and we will pray for you. And whatever you come here for, stays at the well. It's between you and God. But we prayed for salvation, and I wasn't expecting. But that's how God works. And he was the last person that I prayed for. He was 89 years old. He came forward and said, how can I pray for you? And he said, I want to give my life to Christ. It just blew me away. Right there, you know? Right there, 89 years old. And I said, are you sure you want to give your life to Christ? Because I want to be sure too that my sermon has not swayed him, you know? And he started crying. Then I started crying. I knew this was genuine. When a man cries, the Spirit of God has done something. God is moving in this place. I hope you're sensing that the Spirit of the Lord is moving in this church. There is a paradigm shift in this church, and I hope you're already feeling it. I know this because starting the first week of August, things have been going on in this place. And I know because people have been coming to me. Since the beginning of August until now, September 18, conservatively, I have probably met 30 people and prayed with them. If I exaggerate a little bit, maybe 60 people. But if I can count, because I meet in an average 2 people every day. Most of the weeks I'm meeting from Tuesday to Friday. And on the other end, we also have a lot of people in the hospital. I've visited 3 people like in a day. There is some pushback from the enemy because we started praying. Since we started the prayer walk in Central Park, there is a pushback from the enemy because the enemy is saying, no, we can't leave this church alone anymore. They're really praying for the city. Their God-sized dream is to reach the city where there is about 2% Christians in this city. And the church is going to do something. And we can't just leave them alone. Let's nip at the butt. Let's just crush them so they won't think about it. But no. There is no return. There is no retreat. There is no going back now, church. We are on to the journey with God. And the God that is in us is greater than the one that is in the world. And the people that have come to me since August, do you know what they come for? The common theme is that I want to go to the next level in my faith and in my personal life. Isn't that interesting? They didn't come to complain about the church. They did not come to complain about my sermon. You know? They came because they want to go to the next level in their faith and in their life. Then I knew that God is doing something. They are hungry. They are thirsty. They're opening their heart more for the Holy Spirit. They're enlarging their heart to love and sow compassion to the city and the people that are here. And that is what's happening in this church. You know why? Because this church belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we forbid in the name of Jesus Christ that any person will stand here and claim to be the leader of this church except the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? He's the head of this church. We focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. We look to the Lord Jesus Christ for leadership. You're not going to look at your pastor. You're not going to look at the leaders that are here. They are not the leader, the savior of this church. Only Christ is. And we give prominence to him in this church. If you're visiting in this church, you're here for the first time, you will sense the Spirit of God moving. If you're not very sure, come back again, then you'll know for sure that God is working in this place. Right? I tell new people that when they meet me, I don't know whether I should say this is a good thing or a bad thing, but there is a weird thing that happens in this church. If you meet me one time, you will feel like coming again and again. So, sorry if I met you today. You'll feel like coming back to God, right? Nehemiah, and I say to the king, if it please the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, the city of my father's tomb, that I may rebuild it. The God-sized dream for Nehemiah is to build a wall of Jerusalem. The gates have been burned. The walls torn. It's broken. Nehemiah was serving as a cupbearer for King Artaxerxes. He's a cupbearer there. He's in a foreign land. He has been in captivity. He's a slave. But his God-sized dream was to build the wall of Jerusalem that has been destroyed. When Hanani came to the court, Nehemiah asked Hanani, my brother, what's happening to the remnant of those people that were not captured during the time of captivity? What's happening there? Do you know what Hanani said to Nehemiah? They are in shame. They are in shame. They are hopeless. The wall's broken. There is no hope in Jerusalem. There's no hope in Jerusalem. That's the story that began the God-sized dream for Nehemiah. How many of you are sad for the city? How many of you pray for Santa Clara? How many of you pray for the lost soul, the 98% of this population that doesn't know the Lord God Almighty? Our walls broken. The door's been kicked open and burned by our enemy. To those who are in high places in this church, having connection with people in high places, what are you doing for the city? What is God calling you to do for the city? In order to pursue a God-sized dream, we need a God-sized prayer. And we need a God-sized faith. And we need a God-sized task. On these three things I'm going to talk about today. So what's the big idea? The big idea is that an individual can inspire a God-sized task. One person can inspire a God-sized task. Okay? So let's go into the scripture here. I'm going to preach from Nehemiah chapter 1 to 5. If you want to open your Bible apps, By the way, we have our church app. If you go to the app, Santa Clara First Baptist Church, you download that, and there is a sermon note in the app. You can click on the sermon note and follow me too. And when you go home, you can listen to the sermon also. Our app is very, very good. So you would like that, okay? You can download it here now if you want to and follow along. Just put it on silence so it's not ringing, right? Yeah. So let's talk about God-sized prayer. A God-sized passion gives birth to a God-sized prayer, right? Are we together this morning? Yes? We are all awake, right? Yes. Somebody tell me you're awake. Come on. Oh, yes. I feel good now. So a God-sized prayer gives birth to a God-sized passion gives birth to a God-sized prayer. What was Nehemiah's passion? It was to build a wall. Right? So what happens when Hanani told him, oh, that the people are in shame. It's hopeless. The walls are broken. The gates are burned. What did he do? He mourned. He fasted and prayed for several days. He mourned and fasted and prayed for several days because his heart was with his people. He wants to build the wall. So what did he do? He went to pray to God. He's going into a God-sized prayer now. We will read this. Okay? So, the God-sized prayer directs the God-sized desire. He desired to build the wall. He's praying in the Spirit. Romans 8:26. Sometimes we don't know what to pray for, but the Spirit helps us how to pray because he knows the will of God. Romans 8:26. Sometimes we don't know what to pray for, but you pray with the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God will help you how to pray. When you're connected with the Spirit, the desire, your desire is aligned with God's desire. And you started praying God-sized prayer in your life. And a God-sized prayer is understanding of the size of God. You pray big according to the size of God. We read last week that God is able to do more than what you can think and ask. He's a big, big God. Don't put God in a box, your box of bigness. You can't comprehend the bigness of God, and your prayers should be according to the understanding of the size of God, that God is big. When we were in Michigan, we were praying, where will God take us? Should we go back? Should we go to India and plant a church? We were praying seriously on these things. And so we sent my wife home and my two kids, two sons at that time, we haven't had our daughter yet, to see whether we will go and plant a church in New Delhi. We were praying, I was fasting and praying, and she was praying there. She went there for 3 months, a little less than 3 months. And as I was praying one day, I was just overcome with the presence of the Lord, so I couldn't see or stand anymore, so I just prostrated on the floor, and I was just praying and asking God, just praying and praying. And I sat up, the light was on, and I sat down on the chair, and the Bible was there. I went to the Bible, and God took me to Haggai. And as I was reading the scripture, it impressed in my heart that I will go to a city and help rebuild, be involved in rebuilding ministry. So that was in February, I think. So in March, we got a call from a church in Fort Wayne. And we prayed, my wife and we prayed. And we met somewhere in between Michigan and Indiana for a lunch. And I brought my vision for the church. So then we left. They went back to Indiana. I went to Michigan. It was a Sunday evening. My wife and we talked and we prayed. And we said, okay, we will go to Fort Wayne City and serve there. The thing is, we have never been to Fort Wayne. Okay? My wife and I, we have never been to Fort Wayne. So I picked up and called the search committee chair and said, hello. I said, we don't need to come to Fort Wayne anymore. And I can feel her heart sank in the way she said, oh, this guy's not coming, you know. So I said, we're not coming to the city anymore, but we will come and serve the church. Then the light came on again. She was excited. So we went to Chicago one Sunday, and we drove by and came back to Fort Wayne on the way to Michigan. And we drove by the church. And my heart sank, you know. Because when in Michigan, when I was at First Baptist Church, huge property, nice place. It was near Ann Arbor, one of the nicer area, you know, huge, rich people all surrounding that place. So when we came to Fort Wayne City, the church has no parking lot. You know, people are parking on the street. Say, how are we going to grow the church? The church building's kind of worn down. My heart sang, and I said, Lord, I mean, when you said you're going to get me involved in building the church, I didn't mean this way, you know? I mean, this is not like what I thought, right? So first Sunday, I came and preached, and there were probably about 60 people in the worship service. That is a lot for them because they were averaging like 35 to 40 people. So I'm thinking, okay, you know, we have to resuscitate or revive somebody that is dead. It's like we have to resurrect someone that is dead. As we were there, the First Baptist Church is like a few blocks from the South Wayne Baptist Church. The First Baptist Church. You can walk there. It's a 1 minute drive. So there are two Baptist churches within that block. Maintaining two expensive buildings. Maintenance very high. It was during that time that my wife got in contact with the Christian education director in the other church. And as they were going, because my wife was a leader in the region for discipleship development, so they started talking and they were training pastors on discipleship and leadership. It was during that time that God impressed me in my heart that these two churches are going to be merged. So I told my wife, honey, these two churches are going to be merged. So we'll start praying. I don't know how it's going to happen. So when we investigated, they have tried to merge these two churches in the past, and that attempt had made them even more angry at each other. Okay, it didn't work out well. It was like they're not going, if we're never going to talk to them, they can, no, we're not going to merge. Like they were like this. Okay, there is some, you know, we're better than you, those kind of thing going on. But one day, Pastor Scripture, right? Who was an interim minister here before Pastor Rich came? He was the interim minister there. And God impressed in him to pick up the phone and call me. We have never met. Pick up the phone. Hey, Pastor Valui, can I take you out for lunch? Oh, yes. All right. We went out and ate. And he said, let's merge these two churches. Like, yes, let's do it. We've been praying. So we called. What did we do? There's a passion there. We went into prayer, God-sized prayer. So I wrote to all of them, we're going to organize prayer before we even talk about merger. We will pray three times, not talk about merger at all. Just pray together for three times. So we started praying in May. And 40 people came for that prayer. And we just prayed. We didn't pray about the merger. We just prayed to God. Organized again in June. we prayed. After the third time, we brought it up about the merger. The things that they have tried to work out for many years, we started praying in May, and by November, the other church voted in October to merge. The other one voted in November, and we started as one new church in January. It's like within 7 months, God pulled all these things together. But how did that happen? It happened because of prayer. Prayer can heal. It can heal misunderstanding, hurt, and bitterness. But if you don't have the right passion, it doesn't bring you to your knees. You're not mourning, fasting, and praying. Nehemiah wanted to build a wall, so he prayed a God-sized prayer. He prayed a God-sized prayer. So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Have you fasted and prayed and mourned for Santa Clara City? That's not a rhetorical question. Have you cried for this city? Have you cried for your friends? Have you cried for your relatives? Have you spent a minute outside your own need and wants for other people? What is your dream? What is your God-sized dream for your family, for this community, for this city? So God-sized prayer. We got to pray God-sized prayer. When we went out to pray and worship in the park, that's the beginning, isn't it? And we were surprised that many people showed up. And we hold hands when we were able to complete the circle within. And we walked around there 7 times and prayed for the people. That's the beginning. It's just the beginning. That's not the end. We got to now start praying God-sized prayer for this city. And start seeing God pouring down His grace and gentleness on this city. And start experiencing the movement of the Holy Spirit and God in our lives, in our family life, in the community and this city. There is no returning back. There is no going back. We got to pray. We got to go forward. Because God-sized prayer and then God-sized faith. We need a God-sized faith. A God-sized faith is believing boldly. Is believing boldly. Oh, this is amazing. You know, when you go, when you read Nehemiah, so he was sad, and he went to the king, and the king said, "Why are you so sad? Why is your face so sad?" And Nehemiah said, "My father's city, where I come from, is doomed. The gate's been burned. The wall's been fallen." He prayed quickly before he talked to the king. Boldly. He's just a cupbearer. And he even said, "Will you send me back to Judah to rebuild the wall?" Very bold. "Will you send me back?" You see, a God-sized faith is believing boldly and stepping out in faith that I am going to do this. I'm going to take risk. I'm going to take risk to follow my passion. To follow what God has called in me. You can be 80 years old and still reignite the calling that God has laid on you when you were 19, 20. It's never too late. Moses was 80 years old. You think your life's over at 70 and 60? No, 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 no. You will see greater things than the latter, the former. The latter things will be greater if you obey, submit your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and to God to fulfill every good things that He has called you to do. Oh, hallelujah. And a God-sized faith is asking audaciously, audaciously. So he said, can I go back to Judah and build a wall? If that is not enough, then he said to the king now and said, King, you read the scripture. This is the word must just got me. He said, you must write a letter to all the governors that I will have a free pass to go through all the provinces. Who is the king now? He's like, Nehemiah is like, you must write a letter to all the governors, right? I said, wow, this is audacious. I mean, he has prayed all, see, God-sized prayer now. Now he's having a God-sized faith to ask it. Not only that, the second thing, do you know what he asked? He said, you must write another letter to Asaph, the king of the forest, the one who takes care of the forest, I mean, that he will provide me all the timbers that I need to build a wall. Not just going back to Judah. He was a little scared to ask permission to go to Judah before. Now, where is he? He said, you must write a letter to all the governors that I can have a free pass. Not only that, add on that another letter to Asaph to provide me all the timbers that I need. What do you think the king said? He said, okay, I grant you the request. How did that happen? God-sized prayer. God-sized prayer. He asked audaciously and he got what he asked for because he has prayed to the big God and he understood the size of God. And then, what happened? So, he said he went with very few people to go back to Jerusalem. Very few. And he had no animal except the animal that he was riding on. How are you going to build without an animal? How are you going to build without the horse? Cows, bulls, whatever you need, donkeys. How are you going to do that? But he went by faith. He went by faith. I don't know what animal he was riding on, whether it was a horse or a donkey. The Bible did not say, I have one animal with me, the one that I'm riding on. And he went with few people to go and build the wall of Jerusalem. This is a God-sized faith, I'm telling you. When we merged the church in Indiana, the church that we moved to was grand, awesome, huge parking lot, several classroom studies. But it was built with a colonial architecture style, right? And for some reason, to save some money, you know, one floor is a little higher than our, you know, it's like different level of steps. It wasn't handicap accessible at all. So many steps to go. People come and get married there because it's grand. The pillars and, you know. But for me, how am I going to get into people that can walk up the steps? It's a great concern for me. So we said, we're going to put an elevator. An elevator, how much? 170 to 200,000. We came from 35, 40 people now, right? And merged these two churches and said, where are we going to get 160, 70, 200,000? How are we going to do this? There's a lot of thing going on. And we had the council meeting and the property management guy came and said, we have tried to do this since 1950s to put an elevator when the church was more than 1,000 people. We are at the lowest now. Less than 100 people, and you're going to try to put an elevator at your lowest? I prayed. They were trying to raise the fund. Nothing was happening. One day I stood up and took the courage to stand up in the platform like this and said, I believe in the deep pocket of the Lord. And when this is done, no one will take the glory except God, and He will do it for us. That was in June. We got the elevator by the end of the year. 200,000. That was a God-sized prayer. He provided. He saw the need of the people. It was during that time, I remember very clearly, Pastor, your church member is growing, but they are $1 Christians. They're not going to bring in much money. I'm telling you, my $1 Christians built that elevator when they didn't build it when there were 1,000 people there. Who did it? God did it. God did it. If we pray God-sized prayer, He will make a God-sized way to make things happen. We got to believe. Like we were singing with our worship pastor this morning, we believe. We believe in our heart. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus the Son. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe. We believe for greater things to come. We believe that God has started His work in this place, that greater things are yet to come. We believe. I believe here. I believe in the deep pocket of the Lord. In this expensive place, in this city, that if God calls us to do something, He will provide it for us. When He calls, He will provide. I believe in that. I believe in that, that we can do great things if we believe, if we just take risk. The other word for risk is faith. I believe. I don't know about you, but I believe. I believe in God. I have asked you in the beginning of the year to pray whether we should have this courtyard ministry in between the fellowship hall and the sanctuary. We want to have a courtyard ministry there. It's not a playground. A courtyard ministry where we can have the inbuilt grill tables. Instead of lifting every Sunday and coming back, and we want to build in there. There will be a place where we can have a meditational place in between, and it can be for a life group and a small group. We want to update the play area for the children and the family. To say that we care for everybody. That there will be shade for our older congregation when they come to the grill. That they will enjoy the shade. We will be welcoming the new visitors that come here and say, this is a safe place for your family and for your kids. You know, that college, high school, young people can come to this area for meditation and prayer during the week. That's the dream that we have for this open space here. It's a God-sized dream. Because it needs a God-sized money, it needs God-sized faith and God-sized prayer. But we've been praying for this. And I've asked you to pray. And I want you to pray more again. To see if God is leading toward that. And if we feel that God will lead that, then He will provide. Because I trust in the deep pocket of the Lord. He can provide the 200,000. But we got to believe. If He's calling us to build a wall, He will give materials for the wall. Because a God-sized prayer, God-sized task, and then faith, and you need a God-sized task. An individual can initiate a God-sized task. Nehemiah initiated, and he told the people, let us build the wall. And the few people said, yes, we will build the wall. I'm with you. An individual can inspire a God-sized task. And only God can accomplish a God-sized task. Then only God will take the glory. I'm going to call the worship team to come up. But I want to read this scripture as they come up. You know, when he was building the wall, Sanballat the Horonite, you know, Tobiah the Ammonite, and the Arabs, they all laughed at Nehemiah. They Geshen the Arabs. Now Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him and said, whatever they built, if even a fox goes up on it, he will break down the stone wall. And say, oh, when the fox go, the wall will fall down. They were laughing at them. They were laughing at Nehemiah. You know what happened? But in the end, so the wall was finished on 25th day of Elul in 52 days. 52 days, Nehemiah built the wall. And it happened when all our enemies heard it, and all the nations around us saw these things, that they were very disheartened in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was done by our God. If you follow your God-sized dream, God will accomplish it for you. And you, others, will not take the glory, but God will take the glory. Everything that we do must glorify God, because it is His. It is His. Let no man glory except God. Follow your God-sized dream. Let God fulfill it, and He will know He's been with you. God has done it for you. You feel it? Yeah? You feel it? I'm feeling it, right? Let's worship the Lord. Let's stand together. Let's stand together and worship Him.